Welcome to Score Business Points, the program that provides information to help small businesses get started, prosper, and grow. A mentor with the Ocean County Chapter of Score, here's your host, Michael Pappas.
Welcome to another edition of Score Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas. At one time or another, we have all been involved in selling, whether it's ourselves or a product or a service. A few of us have excelled at selling. Others have proven to be good at the process, but not exceptional, while many of us have fallen flat on our face. Selling is not an easy thing to do. You need to have a great deal of confidence in yourself as a good salesperson. You need to believe your product or service is the best for the customer. And lastly, you need to make the customer believe that as well. What is your opinion of sales? Is it something that you love? Is it something that you know is necessary but would prefer to avoid? Better yet, what is your opinion of salespeople? Do you personally want to learn how to sell? Do you see yourself in the business or profession of sales at some point? If this is something you'd like to avoid altogether, do you see yourself instead as a professional, an executive, a practitioner, or a service provider rather than someone who sells? Whatever your career goals or aspirations are, the art of sales is a very important skill to learn. We sell every day in many different capacities, whether we are aware of it or not. We sell our ideas and our products. We sell our values. We sell the causes that we care about. We are social beings, and our lives are full of interactions with each other. As such, we can all benefit from learning and applying certain effective sales techniques in our day-to-day interactions. Whatever your career goals are, by incorporating effective selling techniques as daily habits, you'll experience more success. You'll be more effective in building value-driven relationships. You'll be more influential in spreading your ideas. And you'll be more consistently earn the trust of those around you. Here with me today to discuss sales techniques and how you can help in your life and small business is Scott Bliss. Scott is the owner of Maximum Performance Management, LLC, a firm that teaches the Sandler training sales process. Formed in 1967, Sandler Training has helped thousands of companies become more profitable by training sales professionals with a unique selling system of techniques and guiding principles that focus on asking questions, talking less, educating more, and knowing when to walk away. In many ways, these ideals are fundamentally different from traditional sales techniques, but Sandler is obviously doing something right. Sandler Training is the world's leader in sales development training programs for salespeople at small, medium, and fortune-sized businesses, as well as solopreneurs, or we're talking about solo entrepreneurs, independent consultants, and they deliver an estimated 92,000 training hours per year. Thank you for being here today with me, Scott.
My pleasure.
Okay, my first question has to do with what every business person, or for that matter, any person should have, and that is the elevator pitch. You know that short summary you use to quickly define and simply define a product or an organization or a value and all its propositions and values. I've read that instead of creating an effective elevator pitch, you should focus on the story on the customer. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, and why?
Yes, it's a good thing if you know what the customer does. Usually, a salesperson immediately starts talking about what they sell. It should be more about the customer's potential need for the product and not about features and benefits of your product. You should have different elevator pitches. For example, if you are at a networking event, you can customize your 30-second commercial as you see fit when you are introducing yourself to the room. It may vary a bit for a one-on-one conversation or when someone asks you what you do, or if you're at a family event or a barbecue, typically a friend or family member will undoubtedly ask, what are you doing these days? Part of my main focus is that of a sales trainer, but when people ask me what I do, I may say that I work with business owners and leaders who are interested in a more effective and efficient sales process that will help them close more sales and reach more prospects in a timely manner.
Oh, okay. All right. In my research on the show, I read studies that show 20 to 60% of deals in the pipeline are lost to a no decision rather than to competitors. Why would so many end up with a no decision?
At Sandler, we have a simple rule. A decision not to make a decision is a decision. Many times a customer wants to think it over, but really means no. They're just nice, and they don't want to offend the sales rep. Many times the customer just wants to gather information for a potential future opportunity that may never materialize, as the pain that they're incurring may not be great enough to justify the resources it would take to implement.
All right. When I was in the corporate world, more than once I was tasked with finding a better solution to our needs than currently existed in our company. In my explorations, I found most of the products or services I was looking at were very similar. In your estimation, how would the salesperson go about making this prospect, or I should say his prospect, talking about his prospect, I'm talking about me, want his product or service over his competitors?
Typically, the better salesperson helps the customer understand how the product or service is going to solve their problem, as opposed to just selling features and benefits. A better salesperson will ask the right questions to uncover the pain the customer is trying to solve. So, you know, getting an understanding about the three elements of pain, the surface problems, the reasons for the pain, and the personal impact it has on the person tasked with relieving the pain, and then having an understanding of the cost of the pain and the cost of the pain if it continues, but also the cost to implement a solution to cure the pain. If it's not solved, what is the impact to the person who is tasked with trying to cure the pain? So really, it's just about becoming more consultative versus just trying to sell a product.
All right. All right. Well, we all know that not all products and services are created equal in terms of how you sell them. And not all customers are created equal in terms of how sophisticated or needing they are for a product or service. That means that as a salesperson, you'll probably be selling into different levels of the organization, which require different selling techniques for each level. From what I've read, the three most typical sales techniques are product selling, solution selling, and insight selling. All right, would you please explain to the listeners each technique and at what level in the organization each technique would be used? So let's start with the product selling.
Product selling usually is feature and benefit selling, and it's geared towards the user of the product.
So that would be me if I were, I did payroll for 25 years. So that would be me if you were trying to sell me a payroll service.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I'm the user. All right, what about solution selling?
Solution selling is becoming adept at discovering the customer's needs and then selling them solutions, which is a combination of products and services. This was popular because customers did not know how to solve their own problems. Now, with sophisticated purchasing teams and consultants armed with data, companies can define solutions for themselves.
So again, this is me again when they tasked me with finding a solution to a field. Like, I remember one time being told, Mike, we want you to lead a team to find a better financial product for our accounting operation. So in order for me to do that, I had to put a team together. We had to figure out what we do now, what we wanted to do, and what we'd like to do in the future kind of thing. That's that solution selling group.
Correct. And most of the time, you may bring in consultants that know that market at a much higher level than you or the team you would assemble would know. So they would try and offer you a solution that would fit your area of interest.
Yeah, well,
and solve
I mean, in that respect, what we did was, I mean, it took a long time, but we created what was known as an RFP.
Yep.
Okay. And it had, we asked like 3,000 questions or whatever it was, and each one of the products or that we're looking at for the salesperson to answer, kind of a thing. That's kind of, I guess, the solution selling. All right, let's get back to the last one. What is insight selling?
Today, nearly 60% of a typical purchasing decision is completed before a sales rep is even contacted. Reps who conduct insight selling evaluate prospects differently. They target organizations that are in a state of flux versus ones with a clear understanding of their needs. This is not about improving how they sell, but altogether changing the way they sell.
Oh, okay. All right. I've read that the best way to secure a customer is to build trust through education. What does that mean? Are we talking about educating the customer about your particular product or service?
Yeah. Attempting to educate the prospect about all of the features, functions, benefits, and advantages of your product or service, you know, early in the selling process shifts your focus from more important first steps of qualifying the prospect. So really, you're there to determine why and under what circumstances the prospect would buy from you. So once the prospect reveals his concerns or interests, you can ask additional questions about their significance. The more questions you ask, the more the prospect talks and the more you will learn about potential opportunities to position your product or service favorably. When a salesperson presents, they often present information that they think the prospect wants to hear. It is better to present something that will answer all the prospect's questions and concerns versus trying to educate them on things you think they want to hear versus things that will help solve their problems.
It sounds like your rule 21. I happen to have read everything up. That's your rule. Sorry. I've heard that there's such a thing as social selling. What exactly is that and how does it work?
Social selling is using virtual tools and online networks to add more prospects, opportunities, and information to your sales pipeline. Your knowledge and relationships are infinite resources you can use to build your network.
Oh. Everyone knows, at least from what I've been told, that every salesperson works off of contact leads. Without these leads, life would be difficult. Is there any time frame in which a salesperson should contact a lead, and why? And if you can elaborate, when is the best time to contact a sales lead, and why?
In my experience, the best time to contact a lead is within 5 minutes of receiving it. At that time, the need or potential need is fresh in the mind of the requester. And what about the day of the week? What day or days is best to contact a lead and why? Anytime they will answer the phone. If you call earlier or later, they may answer the phone direct. The Harvard Business Review has a 3-year study that shows Wednesday and Thursdays as the best days to make contact, and the best time to qualify leads is between 4 and 5 o'clock p.m., with the second best time between 2 and 3 p.m. Most reps give up on leads too soon. Always make at least 6 call attempts. By making a few more calls, sales reps can experience up to a 70% increase in contact rates.
Wow. Now, just to get off the track a little bit, it sounds completely different from what I was taught one time in a process of trying to get a job. One of the things that I was taught was make your calls when you know the individual is going to be in the office, but make it as early as possible in the morning so that that person will answer the phone. You're not going through a block, a secretary who's there to block them.
The gatekeeper,
okay? I mean, I when I was doing it during the day, and then, oh, yes, Mr. So-and-so will call you back. What's your number? But when I would call them I would get in the office at, say, 7, and at 7:30 I would make a phone call, and if they were the type of person that I was, they were already in the office, and they would answer the phone. This sounds contradictory when you're doing sales versus trying to get a job. But I would think it's the same thing because I was selling myself. Any different? Is it different or not?
The same principles still apply, Mike. It's the difference now is an invention called voicemail. And, you know, we get stuck in voicemail hell where you call to follow up on a lead, and there comes a point where you go from potential trusted advisor to sales pest.
Oh, okay.
So if they can answer the phone at 8 o'clock in the morning before their secretary or gatekeeper gets in, more power to you. Try it. Keep doing it. If it's successful, absolutely keep doing it. Mm-hmm. But if you're continually getting stuck in voicemail, you want to try different approaches.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you about what you train salespeople to do. In the material you gave me, you indicated that before you put together any presentation, the salesperson will question for pain to make sure he is spending his time wisely. What do you mean by that statement?
Sure. The first thing that people have to understand is customers buy for their reasons, not the salesperson's reasons. At Sandler, we have a rule. There's no pain, there's no sale. Without understanding your prospect's needs, how can you determine the way in which your product or service meets their needs? When you don't get that information, prospects are unable to distinguish the salesperson's product or service from the competition's. Not every prospect is qualified to become a customer. So early in the process, you need to determine whether or not you are going to put out the effort and cost of generating proposals and developing presentations and demonstrations for a prospect. The time you spend reviewing a proposal, giving a demonstration, or making a presentation is wasted unless two conditions are met. Number one, you have qualified the opportunity. This means that you must ascertain that your product or service meets the prospect's needs, that it can be delivered for the investment the prospect is willing and able to make, and that you know the prospect's criteria for saying yes or no. Number two, the prospect is in a position to say yes or no. This means that you must present only to people who are willing and able to say yes if your presentation meets their criteria, or no if it does not.
Okay. And again, I'm doing all the research for this show. I came across some of the Sandler rules. Now, one of the rules that interested me was rule number 35. If your competition is doing it, stop doing it right away. Will you please explain what's meant by that?
Sure, absolutely. Have you ever lost a deal because you didn't effectively distinguish yourself from the competition? Where is the edge? Amateurs rely too heavily on product or service. Can you stand on your own? Can you come up with a game plan that is unique? You and what you sell is not one and the same. Be unique in the approach you take to present not only your product, but yourself. What can you do differently? Target particular added value things your company offers to accommodate the unique needs of specific prospects and customers, creating a one-of-a-kind connection that can't be matched. This is an art worth mastering. Go from vendor to advisor. It is valuable if the prospect discovers a need for what you are offering. You must know what the competition is doing so you can establish a unique position for yourself and your organization.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, another Sandler rule that piqued my interest was number 12. Answer every question with a question. To me, this sounds like something a child would do when asked a question by their parent. Is that a good thing for a salesperson?
The intent of this rule is to not play silly games, but behind the rule is a valid concept. Prospects usually do not ask the real question up front. Instead, they ask smokescreen questions that hide the real questions and its intent. By answering straight away, you run the risk of boxing yourself in. Find out the intent of the question. For example, if you sell advertising campaigns and you are working with a restaurant, and the owner asks you if you are working with other restaurants, if you say yes right away, the owner might be discouraged that you will present him with recycled ideas. The proper response may be, "That's a great question. Why do you ask?" This way, you can probe to find out the real intent behind the question. The technique of answering a question with a question is called reversing. There are rules with reversing. If the prospect asks the same question twice, answer it. Most of the time, you should uncover the real intent of the question with two or three reverses. And each time the customer answers, he provides more information. Unless you understand the intent of the question, you run the risk of providing an answer that boxes you in to an unfavorable selling position.
Okay, now at least I understand what that's all about. All right, I want to thank you for all the information. All right, listeners, you've received some valuable information when it comes to selling your product or service. I hope you are all taking notes. Here's what I've learned. If you think about everyone sells, from an early age, you develop communications techniques you are trying to get your way in life. You are involved in selling when you want someone to do something. For example, if you want to get a date, ask for a pay increase, return merchandise, urge your professor to raise your grade, or apply for a new job, you're selling. You use personal communication skills to persuade someone to act. Your ability to communicate effectively is a key success in life. The client is well aware that you're in the process of purchasing a product or a service. They know the person in front of them is trying to sell them something. Yet, when that person gives the impression that they are uncomfortable selling a product or a service, what message does that send to the client? Highly successful salespeople know that effective selling techniques are really about effective questioning, effective understanding the needs of others, the ability to show empathy, be present, and look for value-added solutions to problems, much more than they are about pushy closing techniques and tricks. A master salesperson is a master relationship builder, a master listener, and a master problem solver. So what I'm saying, or more to the matter, what Scott Bliss has been saying is, Try to understand the perspective and needs of those you interact with. Show empathy and practice being present with people. Identify core problems that you can provide solutions to. Create value while providing a solution to the problem. Instead of losing sales opportunities and turning off customers for your brand, make sure your salespeople use selling techniques that will actually benefit your business. If you would like more information about this show, or for that matter, any Score Business Point show, please email us at sbp@wbnj.org. If there's any topic you would like here discussed on this show,
or you have a comment about this show or any past show,
you may also email us at the same address, sbp@wbnj.org.
Are you a small business owner who has overcome a business problem? Maybe you'd like to let the listeners know how you did it. If so, send me an email at sbp@wbnj.org. Again, that's sbp@wbnj.org. Or maybe you're a subject matter expert, like my guest, and would like to pass on your knowledge to the listeners. I can be reached at the same email address, sbp@wbnj.org. As you may be aware, SCORE provides free business mentoring and education to the small business owner or potential small business owner. The education takes the form of webinars or in-person seminars. The Southeast chapter of SCORE holds these webinars and in-person seminars throughout the year at various locations in Ocean, Atlantic, and Cape May counties. To learn more about what webinars and in-person seminars are being held, go to score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj and click on Local Workshops in the top navigation. Once there, you can click on any of the webinars or in-person seminars listed to learn more about it and how to register.
I'd like again to thank my guest, Scott Bliss, for taking the time to be here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have for today. Please tune in next week for more SCORE Business Points. This is your host, Michael Pappas, saying so long until then.
For those who may not be familiar with SCORE, SCORE is a nonprofit association dedicated to helping small businesses get off the ground, grow, and achieve their goals through education and mentorship. They've been doing this for over 50 years because their work is supported by the U.S. Small Business Administration, the SBA. And thanks to a network of 11,000-plus volunteers, they're able to deliver their services at no charge or very low cost. For more information on how you and your business can benefit from a mentorship from SCORE, you can visit score.org/southeastnj. That's score.org/southeastnj. If you've missed any part of today's broadcast, you can catch an instant replay at wbnj.org. SCORE Business Points is a production of the New Jersey Southeast Chapter of SCORE and 91.9 WBNJ.